It's Thursday, May 31st, 2012. I'm Jordy Morgan. Welcome to Maritime Morning. Well, as I've been saying throughout the morning, what do you suppose the dinner conversations were like at the Buffett household? Not talking about Jimmy. I'm talking about Warren, the investment guru, and I think one of the I think probably holds the line as one of the wealthiest men in the world. Well, we were talking about this because I think it must have been some fascinating conversation that happened from time to time, but more so because his son Peter has come to town, and he is a composer and a musician, and like his dad, philanthropist as well, and has written a book called Life is What You Make It. It has received praise from the likes of Bill Clinton, who certainly knows how to motivate. And Peter Buffett joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in. And also joining us this morning is Allison Kuzovnikov from the Community Foundation of Nova Scotia, who have brought Peter Buffett to Nova Scotia. Hi, Allison.
Good morning.
Just before I begin our conversation here with Peter, I wanted to find out a little bit about the Community Foundation of Nova Scotia and what it is that you do. I mean, it's sort of an innocuous kind of a title, but sounds good. What is it you do as a group?
Oh, absolutely. And we are a good group. So the Community Foundation of Nova Scotia is a public charitable foundation. And we have three core activities. We help people to establish and grow endowment funds. We provide the public with information on community needs and opportunities. And we also invest in charities throughout Nova Scotia, those that are working to build stronger communities. And we're so thrilled to have been able to bring Peter in tonight to do a show for us at the Lord Nelson at 7 o'clock. He has a fantastic message, and we are so excited to share his story tonight in Halifax.
It sounds to me like the audience that might want to show up tonight are people who are interested and giving back to the community.
Absolutely. And I think what's really key is that you don't have to be part of the super rich or elite to participate. And that's really the core message of the Community Foundation of Nova Scotia. And I believe a core message of Peter's as well is that philanthropy is something which is accessible to everyone of all financial means. And really, we all can derive a great deal of meaning and satisfaction by giving back to our community.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Peter, because coming from the family that you do, I'm sure that many people can understand how philanthropy may come more easily when you're not looking at making, you know, when the money is not running out at the end of the month,
like it
happens for a lot of people. So how do you bridge that thinking between, you know, a family like yourselves that are quite affluent and have been very fortunate in life to be able to provide back to the community in a meaningful way?
Well, I go back to the definition of the word philanthropy. It means the love of people. Hopefully we all love people, right? We're in relationship all the time. So yes, money seems to be the word that's attached to the other word, philanthropy. But it's really just, what can you do for the person next door or nearby? And frankly, time has always been worth more than money. So giving your time is incredibly important, and other resources. You know, you may have had a wonderful career doing something in the business world. You can give back what you've learned. You know, you can help mentor kids, whatever it might be. So philanthropy has a much broader meaning than I think most people, initially think about.
I was being a little flip when I was talking about, you know, what the conversations were like right. around your family dinner table, but at the same time, I'm really quite curious right. what they were like. Was this a topic of discussion among your family? Obviously, you know, your dad made an enormous amount of money through investment, and he made not only himself but a lot of other people very wealthy at the same time. So was that a component of the discussion or the thinking around the family?
Not when we were kids, because we had no idea what my dad did. The money never showed itself, right? So my dad was going to work every day, loving his work. We knew he loved what he did, but we didn't really understand it, and it never showed up anywhere. You know, I remember running out of gas in my dad's Volkswagen when we were kids. And not that he was miserly or cheap or anything, but it just didn't matter to him, right? So he still lives in the house I grew up in and all that. So around the dinner table, I will say that my parents both had core values around the equality of all people, you know, and my mother was very involved in civil rights and things like that. So we always had a sense of fellow humans being every bit as important as any one of us or anybody else, right? So there's that great feeling of oneness, essentially. And that tends to make you want to give back in ways once you realize that life doesn't seem to be as fair as it should be.
You talk about those core values. I know that, and again, you know, of late, your father has talked about giving back in
a big way.
In a very big way.
Right.
And we're talking, you know, literally billions.
Billions of dollars.
Of dollars.
Yeah.
Is this something that did he come to this later in life as a realization? And I hesitate to think that maybe for a moment that have you had some influence in terms of what he's been doing?
Well, you know, it's funny because he knew early on, and I guess there's letters to prove this point, in his 20s even, that somehow his mind and the system he was born into economically and all that, that he would be able to make a lot of money. He just knew that the way his mind worked and the way the stock market worked, he was going to get rich. He didn't want it to affect the kids. He knew that that was something that was really on his mind in his 20s. Like, he didn't want to end up messing up the kids, all this stuff. And the other thing is, he knew that he had won what he calls the ovarian lottery. He was born at a time and place and of a mind that would make a lot of money, but that the society he was born into allowed that to happen. So the society should get the money back. It was like a big return on investment. It's mm-hmm. like, I get to do what I love every day. Shouldn't the world I was born into get that result back? Because I'm having a blast just investing, my dad saying this, you know, so why shouldn't the world get that back as a big thank you? It's a very enlightened way to think, as far as I'm concerned. Most people think, you know, I did this, it's mine. And he's saying, hey, I had a blast. Thank you, world, for allowing me to have a blast in my lifetime here. Here's mm-hmm. the result. It's pretty cool.
Well, it's the idea of giving back is also really the only reward that you have in life in terms of
right.
Of real value.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can't take it with you. We all know that. And in fact, you're doing your kids a disservice if you just put it all on them, because here you've worked hard to have this success. And so it's natural for a parent not to want their children maybe to have to work as hard as they did or something. I mean, I get that, except that if you don't earn your own reward, if you don't make your own life, you're gonna always wonder whether you ever could, essentially. You know, if my dad gave me billions of dollars, while on the surface that sounds like, hey, wow, wouldn't that be great? It would rob me, actually, of my own successes and failures in life.
So this has obviously shaped your thinking,
yes,
in your life in a very, very significant way. But you were determined when you set off in life that you wanted to have a creative career,
right,
of some sort. Yeah. Where did that take you? I know that we were talking just before we went on the air about the music that you
right.
did, and
right.
the fact that I actually came across some of your music back in the 1980s when you were recording with Narada. But so where did that take you?
Well, first, of course, people assume, gee, why didn't you go into the same business your dad did? Aren't you kind of an idiot for not getting into investments? Because what a great teacher and all that sort of thing. The truth is, my parents both said, find something you love. It's going to make you happy. That's the real essence of life, is doing something you love. And of course, I saw my dad do what he loved every day. So that made sense to me. So as I got older, I thought, well, what do I love? You know, what is the connection for me? Because it's sometimes hard to find. I had always played piano, always loved music. And it took me actually going off to college and taking all these classes and realizing, oh my God, it's music. I love that. I've got to go pursue that. And so in a sense, my dad, not even in a sense, it's true. My dad and I do the same thing. We do what we love. It happens to be expressed in very different ways. But the music and you know, the various paths it's taken me, all the way to writing a book, which I never expected, has been fantastic. And it's been music for commercials and film and records and all sorts of things.
Peter Buffett is tonight going to be appearing and delivering his message, Life is What You Make It, at the Lord Nelson Hotel, 7 o'clock tonight. It's being sponsored by the Community Foundation of Nova Scotia. I'd like to talk a little bit about the message that you're going to be delivering. Right. We don't have to get the whole thing. No spoilers.
No, I can't give it away.
Spoilers,
right.
But I'd like to hear a little bit about that message. It's essentially talking about how to give back, philanthropy, and perhaps how all of us can do a little bit more for our community as well. We'll take a break and be back in a moment here on Maritime Morning. Welcome back to Maritime Morning. I'm Jordy Morgan, and in studio with us this morning is Peter Buffett. Peter is in town giving a talk for the Community Foundation of Nova Scotia at the Lord Nelson Hotel tonight, based on a book that was published a few years back called Life is What You Make It. And recently, after having a successful musical career and doing a lot of different things, actually, he decided he was going to sit down and write a book, and now he's out talking about his thinking and how giving back is going to make your life a little bit better. So we were talking just before we went to the break about the key messages that you're going to be delivering here, and I want you to just, maybe you can begin with the idea of work and what work is for.
Right. What a good question. Well, you know, one of the things I realized early on is if you're doing what you love, it's not work, you know. So that's a nice thing that some of us, you know, whether it's you behind the mic at radio or myself behind a keyboard, you know, certainly a lot of us, and Allison at the Community Foundation for that matter, you know, we're doing things we actually really are enjoying. And while there are challenges, you know, work should be a part of who we are. It shouldn't be something we go do and then come back and do something else, if that's possible. It isn't possible for everybody, but I think it's possible for a lot of people that they can really be engaged and find that work isn't a chore. It's a part of, you know, who they really are. And that's what I saw with my dad. You know, my dad wasn't working to make money. He was doing what he loved with investing and analysis and all these things. It happened to make a lot of money. So in a lot of ways, I'm sort of an expert in seeing somebody who happens to have a lot of money, but realize it's not about that at all.
Right. I know that what you talk about here is how we measure our success at work as well. And
right.
A great many people, you know, we look at sort of the trappings of our success as opposed to what we're actually providing those within our community. Is that the sort of the core of what you're talking about here in terms of your talk and your ideas behind philanthropy?
Well, the talk, which is actually a performance, it's an interesting kind of combination. I call it a concert and conversation. And I speak and I take questions from the audience through the whole show, actually. And I perform and I show old pictures from childhood. I show my dad's report card from junior high, which is quite something, actually. I'm not going to give it away. But it's really about finding your path in terms of engagement in life in many different ways. Engagement with work, engagement with relationships, certainly with the community, with philanthropy, what that really means. And so it seems funny to me because it's really me telling my story, which I didn't realize was that big a deal until my dad became who he is, and people started to say, you know, you're Warren Buffett's son, you're so normal. And I thought, well, why wouldn't I be? And I started to examine my own life and realized that by talking about my story and how I was raised and the values I was raised with and that sort of thing, it can be helpful to a variety of groups, both in the philanthropic world. I do a lot of university talks for kids, lots of different ways to look at a life. And then, of course, the ultimate thing is that we all have stories and they all have value and they all kind of lead to this tapestry of, you know, people understanding other people and starting to get connected. And philanthropy is certainly one of those ways.
Is there at times on occasion, though, that you find that when you're having discussions with people about this, that it because of the privilege that you've come from, Right. That it's difficult to bridge that gap?
Well, that's how I start the show. I will give away one thing. I say, okay, my book, Life is What You Make It, and my last name, and you're thinking, easy for you to say, right? I mean, it's the first.
Well, yeah. I wasn't going to say it.
But, no, but you know. That's why I do. Because I have to dispel that because, of course, the privilege I really grew up with, you know, my dad still lives in the same house. I walked to public school. I had the same English teacher my mother had. I mean, this is pretty bland stuff. And the dinner table conversations were the same. They're pretty normal, like what you learn in school today. And so the privilege was having parents that loved me, supported me, grandparents down the street, teachers who knew me, you know, parents who cared, who wanted to see me flourish in my own unique way, but they weren't going to write a check for it. So I try and redefine, actually, you know, privilege and success, and like we're talking about work and even philanthropy. And that's the fun of it with the show.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to become more philanthropic in their life, but they have limited means.
Right.
What do they do? How do you see them best approaching it?
Well, I think everything again goes back to your own story. You know, what moves you? What motivates you? What makes you feel something? Okay, because everybody in some way is going to go out in their community or see something on television or hear a story and go, "Wow, that is something, and how can I be helpful there?" You know, so it starts with, again, that little song in your heart, you know, that says something, that speaks to you in some way, and it doesn't take money. That's the key. Money is helpful, for sure, you know, for a lot of things, but time is definitely as valuable, and experience. And so it's, and again, like with a businessman, their story may be fascinating to somebody who's 17, 18, 19, 20, who's trying to figure out how to get started. And somebody who's 50 or 60, you know, may have some keys to the universe for somebody who's 19. But they wouldn't think of it that way. They think, oh, I just, you know, found my way and here I am. But if they really look into their own story, they see some really valuable lessons there.
Hmm. What are you going to do now? I mean, it's like, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm sort of in the same boat. So,
right.
But what is this your new path? Is this what you think you're cut out to do?
Well, you know, yes. It certainly fulfills me in a great way that I never would have expected. And my life has sort of gone that way. So, when I was 19 or 20 and realized I wanted to get into music, I didn't say, I got to write a hit record. I got to be famous. I got to make a lot of money. I just want to make music tomorrow and then the next day after that. So what do I need to do? And then it led to all sorts of strange and wonderful things. And so this is still leading to strange and wonderful things. Here I wrote this book, didn't expect to write a book. Now I'm in Halifax, never thought I'd be in Halifax. And so it's taking me places that have been really a lot of fun and very rewarding. So I'll keep doing it.
You know, it must be something for you to see people like Bill Clinton or Bill and Melinda Gates or Gloria Steinem or Ted Turner. I mean, when you get blurbs for your book, you get some pretty serious blurbs.
The editor was sort of blown away that I got those.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't know. I guess you guys hang out in the same circles, I guess. But no, when you hear people talking about your work like that, it must be quite rewarding.
It felt pretty good because the truth is those people don't have to write anything. They have become, on varying degrees, friends. I mean, Gloria is actually a pretty good friend now in terms of things we've done together and stuff. So we've gotten to know people, and yes, mostly through the philanthropic work, because we open ourselves up, my wife and I, Jennifer and I, to learning. And I think people appreciated the fact that we weren't coming on the philanthropic stage saying, here, we're going to, you know, put our name everywhere and be big deals. We said, we don't know a thing. Teach us. You know, we want to know more. And so we got to be friends with whether it's Bill Clinton or Gloria Steinem. But when the book came out, before the book came out, when I sent it to them, you don't know if you're going to get anything back. And so to get a response was pretty wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Does your dad give you investment tips?
He does not.
Damn.
Although,
damn, I was going to ask for a couple.
Well, I hate to be predictable, but the truth is, the investment tip he gives to everyone. He speaks to so many college kids, hundreds, thousands of them every year. the investment tip is invest in yourself. It's the greatest investment. And he means it. And it's true. It does it. It's not just a cliche. It's like you are the thing you've got to invest in. Yeah.
Great meeting you. Thanks for taking the time to come in.
Absolutely.
Peter Buffett, if you want to check out what he has to say, it is tonight at the Lord Nelson Hotel in Halifax. It's at 7 o'clock, and tickets are still available, Allison, at the...
Where do you get them?
Community Foundation?
That's right. So folks listening right now can give us a call at 490-5907. There are very few tickets left, so... I would encourage you all to act quickly.
Oh, great. Enjoy your stay in Halifax.
Thanks so much.
We'll take a break and be back in just a couple of minutes. Joe O'Connor's going to join us. We're going to be talking about a study that came down, why your kids should be out there playing more and not playing video games. That's next on Maritime Morning.